Here with Debbie, this Wednesday after supper, the 28th of March, 73. The second visit today, Channel 1 right, after supper, and the beginning of the visit with Cookie, the second visit, this Wednesday after supper, the 28th of March, 73. Channel 1 right, beginning of visit with Cookie, was Debbie, with this Wednesday after supper, the 28th of March, 73. Channel 1 right, and beginning a visit with Cookie, with Debbie, this Wednesday, after supper, the 20th of March, 73. Channel 1 right, beginning a visit with Cookie, the second one today, with Debbie, this Wednesday, after supper, the 28th of March, 73.
This is right.
You're learning.
You don't put the whole gallon jug in it.
His best is to Weaver.
Is he hard on you?
Oh, he really, he doesn't just poke. He gets his knuckle right there.
Oh,
on,
he
on
got
the side. Him. Oh, yeah.
He got, look at that. Face, he just as soft as little 18 out there. Look at that. Feel this. Feel. You feel that. What are we going to do about that? Look at that. Did you know that? Why, Mr. Weaver really could get you.
Yeah, he could. He does. Right on the side of the spine.
He's working with everyday tape. Well, I mean, just of the present, he's still putting it in this context. He's seeing the past from his pocket. And it's a literary usage of it. And I think that makes a difference in that. And incidental reporting,
what his word is, he gives it a direction.
Yeah, I see that. And all that Miss Daisy does, she's still, you see this Georgia river that's more at home in the field than she is anywhere else. And that's where she learned to talk. And that's where she relates and everything else, you see. But she watches and she sees and she looks and she brings all this stuff to life. And I can see something really beautiful coming out of with your ability to write. Which, like you do, I mean, just to make a lift out a little something from her or from any of these people, and
and use it in your own way that you would like.
Yeah.
And use it.
I was thinking,
you know, I mean, you can even use it with a little fiction, you know, you don't have to pad it. But it can still be within the direction. And it's, this is really overcome. It never stops. When he called on the telephone last night, I knew it was something other than just calling and saying, yeah. And so he lives that. And you see how power is up? Because it could be, it's a rascal. But you see, this is fun.
Everybody has to do a horsey and you
can go down and play with him. Go down and play with him.
Keep your horses straight.
Yeah, I have
to
have
the
water hot.
Yes.
I want to see that
new horse.
He's going
to
impact him.
Yeah.
He's going to impact him.
I
want to
see him.
He's gentle. He can ride him. Walk up to him. Catch him in
his
leg. Good
name.
Charlie.
Okay.
Okay, now let me tell you. I just want to get this straight now. What we were saying there about the hay. Now this hay you got out there got some.
Smell.
You can smell it.
Yeah, it smells fresh, just like you went out there in the field and picked it up right now.
Yeah.
And I hauled it in that trailer in the wind 950 miles.
Yeah.
Now just think what it would be if you was to go in the field in the fresh sunshine and pick that up out of the field just after it's been baled.
Now, I'm not I'm not sure that I have ever had any hay down here that's had any smell to it.
None compare with that. No. Definitely not. We've had some hay that's had a little smell to it, but it didn't smell like that.
No, and it don't last long.
It had a musty green smell, if you remember right. It's like we're going right here and cut your lawn, you know? How musty and green it smells?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's what your hay smells like.
Yeah, that's right. Let me tell you. You can't find the hay you get down here. I don't know. It just ain't hay. But none of them seem to admit it.
I haven't saw one yet that would admit it.
Let me tell you what. Everett made hay over there a couple of years ago. You remember when it was.
Yeah.
Don't you remember when his thing was sitting out there?
Yeah.
They cut it, and it was heavy, Pangola, and it rained on it 3 or 4 times. And you know, when I saw him, he says they made 7 tons or something to the acre, and they put it in there. Well, I said, Everett, what good's it going to do you to put that up? And he didn't even hear me.
No, uh-uh.
He was ready to sell that to me or anybody else.
He'd have sold it to you for good hay, and why, it wouldn't have been any more than a bundle of sawdust. I can't see where they can get 9% protein out of coastal Bermuda hay down here. I just absolutely can't see it. They'll have to prove it to me, and then I won't hardly believe it. The way it dries out, it can't have 9% protein.
No.
from that right out there, that bale of hay that I put on in there, as you all smelled of, back up home, 10 and a half is the most it'll put that protein will ever put out. 10.5% protein.
Well, that's what you have to put up with down here. You know, you could take it if you if they come clean with you. They say, I've got some old musty hay over here. Call it hay if you want to. You can have it for $1 a bale or something like that. But they don't talk about it like that.
The last hay I bought, went to Williston and bought it. I paid $1.25 a bale for it. And it was Bahia, Coastal, Swamp Grass, Johnson Grass, Nut Grass, and everything all mixed. And them horses, they was hungry.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't eat it.
They wouldn't?
No, sir.
Cows would eat it.
I don't know whether your cows would eat that or not. That's the awful mess I ever bought. I'm going to have to haul it off and dump it in the lake.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get it up, put it out, and they wouldn't eat it.
Oh, you mean you still got it?
It's laying up there where they fed them, where the kids fed them. They just smell of it and walk over it and go on. But I'll guarantee you, you throw some of that hay down there, down there, they ain't going to walk over it and keep on going. They're going to eat it.
You know, my cows are right sporty about what I give them and call it hay. They let you know that they
don't appreciate it.
But they go right along. Just like you give old cool coffee or something like that, they'll still go right ahead and act like it's pretty fair.
Speaking of cows, I saw calves when I was up home.
Yeah.
Well, you ought to see some of his calves.
Don't tell me.
You ought to see some of them calves. My brother, instead of taking him, he went and bought a 3-year-old bull. Gets $1,600 for him. And there's no comparison in the calves. None whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Old Caiaphas is dropping some short, chunky, blocky calves.
Yes. And they'll take on the feed.
They're the finest calves I've saw. And my brother's is spindly legged, a lot of white, and they just don't look right. And from the same herd now, the heifers had the same treatment, and he was a year and a half older. He should be at his prime right now. Well, if he's at his prime, I'd hate to see him to start with. Average.
Mm-hmm.
That trip up there stunted him an awful lot.
Is that right?
How you feel that?
Well, changing the climate.
Oh.
And all. And he wasn't used to you going out there and petting him, and so on and so forth.
Well, they don't hold those things against you. He does.
He did.
Did he?
You blame him right. He did.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Huh. He was pretty sane that he ever came off this place.
And he still lets you know about it if you don't talk to him.
Yeah.
Give him his nourishment every morning and every night. He's going to let you know about it.
Yeah. Well, now, I don't, you know, not everybody talks to animals.
Well, Daddy never did speak of.
Yes.
And but he found out that he's gonna have to do something with her. Caiaphas gonna let him know about it, and he does.
So he talks to Caiaphas.
He talks to Caiaphas. He can just do anything with him. He just is quiet That's the quietest bull daddy ever owned. He don't know what it is to own a good bull.
Yeah.
That's right. He is, now he's as near human as you can make him.
Yeah.
That's right, he always was.
That's right, from the very first.
His coat was just like silk, baby. It was.
It was like it was polished.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's winter time up there, you know.
Not like that in West Virginia, I know.
Oh, yes, he'd have on that winter fur up
there.
Yeah,
and it's kind of curled up, you know, and he looks rough. Compared to what he did down here, but he still looks good. And
let's see, a 3-year-old?
No, he's just 2 years old.
He's just 2.
Two.
He's not grown or anything.
No, he's not grown yet.
No.
Don't
know how big he'll be.
I didn't realize how long they kept on growing.
Daddy's main object with getting him was for his heifers. He had some good heifers coming in, and because he'd be small, but he wasn't as small as they thought he would be.
Yeah.
He threw it out.
You know, I never had that trouble with the heifers coming in, having, sired by a regular bull. But you don't want to take a chance on it.
No.
You could have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many calves do you got now?
I've got about 20, something like that. I think there's a couple of them. Caffy hadn't come for us yet.
How many bulls you got?
Oh, there's more than half of them bulls, but not any of them. There's one pretty one. And one pretty bull.
Yeah.
But he's not going to grow off well because he's on the oldest cow. They don't have much milk. And what he ought to be done to is taken off and given a little extra, put on a good cow, like some of these people do.
Yeah.
They would come over here one day and offer me $100 for them. I wouldn't take it. I just wouldn't want to do it fool with it. I'd just leave them.
He was just,
you
know, baby,
wasn't
a month.
Gosh, day old Holsteins is bringing $75.
Yeah.
Day old.
And you can't get them at that.
You got to stay on the waiting list. Sure enough.
It is something. This is going to be some world, Cookie. I tell you.
It sure is. It's something.
Getting there fast, isn't it? Let me get this straight. Now, had you been up before this same bunch that you were this morning? This is first go around.
That's
them.
First go around with them.
Now, who are they?
Well, this Dr. Kress is a university doctor.
They're on the university staff.
Yeah. They take his word for everything.
Uh-huh.
If he says I'm able to go out there and dig a ditch, well, they think I'm able to dig a ditch. They take his word for it. If he says I'm not able to do nothing, I'll just take his word for it.
Yeah.
And he just got that far. And I told him, I said, I ain't about to go back on that heavy equipment. Be bounced around and jolted around and going at night and can't sleep. I ain't gonna do that. When I was working, there had been a many night I went home and never shut an eye. Lay right there in the bed and never shut an eye.
You told him that?
I told him that.
So if they declare you disabled at from the university, then you...
And I can draw Social Security. I can get my truck and car paid for. I can horse trade.
And Laura's car.
That's right.
Because that's in your name.
That's in my name. And it's financed at the University Campus Credit Union. That's $200 a month I won't have to pay out. And if they declare me disabled, I won't have to pay that $226.85 to the insurance company where Frank wrecked my truck. Of course, if I'm disabled, I'm not able to work. And they can't make it if I can't work. So that's $426 a month I won't have to pay out. And I'll get $420 a month from Social Security and the government. So that's about $850 a month that I'll be making, actually, that I'm not making now. I'm paying out, you might say.
Well, now, you've been figuring out something along this line all this time.
I've been kind of figuring on it, yeah.
And you just done it yourself?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody told you?
Nobody told me what to do.
You just nose around and get a little idea here. And
Mama might have raised some stupid looking kids, but she didn't raise no stupid ones.
Well, there ought to be some other way of saying it than that.
Well, facts is facts, or face it. I think she might raise some stupid looking ones, but she didn't raise no stupid ones.
They wasn't born yesterday or something like that.
That's right.
I don't quite know how you'd say that. Cause it may look stupid, but it ain't stupid. That ain't quite the way of saying it, Faye.
I think Cookie said it just right. Okay. Well,
They've given you a hard time.
Yes, sir, they're giving me a hard time.
All right along, right steady, haven't they?
Since Frank wrecked my truck, they ain't give me nothing. They just give me particular hell, that's all.
Yeah. You didn't have one damn thing to do with it.
I didn't have a thing to do with it. And not a foot to stand on to fight it. And no money to back me, anyway.
And felt miserable.
That's right. And I worked out there and worked in misery. Tried to work, and I couldn't do it. And I'm sitting in misery right now. And there ain't no doubt about it. And I've messed around and fought and argued and fussed and been nervous all day, and I probably won't even sleep 2 hours tonight.
Well, now, that's the trouble with that sort of stuff up there. That's what kills me.
You got to fuss and fight and growl, and you're all unnerved all the time. And
you don't know where you stand?
That's right. You don't know whether you're doing the right thing or not. One boss may come by and say, that's just right, that's fine, and the next one come along and cuss you out.
Yes.
Now, that's just the way it is.
You see, that's what you get into. That's what you get into. Well, you know what I told you way back there, didn't I?
Yeah.
Don't you?
I didn't have sense enough to listen to you, though, did I?
Well, it didn't quite work out. I mean, we didn't calculate on this other wrecking things.
You see, I'm going to tell you. If I hadn't had all this bad luck, these accidents, and everything. You know, I wouldn't have had to went back to work at the university now. I wouldn't have to go back to work at the university. I wouldn't have been in the bind like I'm in now.
If you hadn't had this wreck.
If I hadn't had this wreck, and then Frank had the other two wrecks that he had, and he kept from me until they brought suit against me for the damages.
But he can't do that now. He's 18.
He's 18. He got to stand on his own 2 feet now. They can't come back to old daddy and say, look here, I got to have this much money. I could have got out of it then if I'd have swore he stole the automobiles, but I couldn't swear to it. They weren't mine. They were the other fellas. Just like Ed when he wrecked Ed's red truck over there. Ed could come back on me and it caused me all kinds of damage. But he didn't do it. But the other fellas, they weren't as lenient as Ed was. That's why I had to get out and do some fast horse trading and so forth. I had to dig up $3,000. I done it.
$3,000
in less than 30 days I dug up.
You mean you've been under pressure just recently?
Pressure? You blame right I've been under pressure. Sure have. Sure have.
You mean another wreck? That's an old wreck.
No, it happened since they wrecked my pickup.
Yes?
Yeah.
But you didn't know it.
I didn't know nothing about it.
And they just now bringing it forward.
They brought it forward about 6 weeks ago.
Oh, that's what happened to you.
That's what happened to me. That's why I had to start moving fast. And I started moving fast, too. Heck, they were there all 2 weeks. I wasn't home. I was on the road. When I come back in, I come back in loaded. I ain't joking. I loaded up Apex and a little bay quarter horse dealing I had, and a pair of Pinto mares that I bought, and two ponies in my trailer out there, six head. And I went to Georgia. I sold out. I left on Sunday evening and I sold out Monday morning. I went to Quitman. I bought another load in Quitman. Went to Dothan, Alabama. I sold out in Dothan and I picked up a load there. Come back to Sylvester, Georgia. Made good. Sold. I bought a bunch of killers out there for $30 and $40 a piece and bought them up there and sold them for $70 and $80. Old horses. Made good. Had seven head on that trailer. And I was in Tampa. I was in Lakeland. I was in Punta Gorda. I was in Jacksonville. I was in Waycross, Georgia. I was in Murphy, Tennessee, or Murphy, North Carolina. I went over to Kingsport, Tennessee.
You were buying up horses and selling them.
Buying up horses and selling them. I picked up a load here that I had bought and paid for.
That'd give you something to work on.
That'd give me $1,000 in my pocket, for pocket change. And when I come back, I had $3,000 in my pocket. Cash money. Sure did.
You gotta, you don't move enough, you don't get enough, you don't clear enough on any one animal. You gotta, in this sort of thing, and raising that much money, you gotta move a lot of animals.
You gotta move, that's right.
And you can't look at them all day. You gotta be able to know.
You can't stand there and study while they're auctioning that thing off. You got to know what you want, and you got to buy that thing now. You can't sit there and ponder for 2 hours. You got to buy that thing now.
And you got to know what you're going to do with it.
That's right. It's like that little pair of Pinto mares I bought. I bought them and so that and equipment, brought them home, and traded them to old Joe Rosenthal up in Orange Heights. Tore him up. I just tore him up. I got my money back. Different. And little bay gelding weigh about, he weighed about 900 pounds. He was a live one. I took him to Jacksonville, got $140 out of him. And I got him and $240 to boot between the Pinto mares and him. That made me $380 out of the Pinto mares, and I bought them for $235. And he couldn't handle them. I went up and traded him a big Palomino that I traded for. and give him $150 to boot. And I had, before I traded around, I had about $38 in the Palomino. I took them back to Sylvester and put a set of harness on them and sold them. I pulled a trick on them. I pulled a fast one on them. Put them in the ring together. Sold them separate. And the bidder takes both. Well, they run them to $185 a piece, and I made the bidder take both of them for $185 a piece. Mm-hmm. You got to think fast, and buy fast, and sell slow.
Because it makes me weak in the knees to think about it. I could, Lord, Lord, did know something. You know, John, how many horses you've passed through your hands in the last month?
I say the last six weeks, I imagine there's been, well, I could figure it up, but it'll take me a while. Mm-hmm. Lord, Lord. Well, I went in, out in Birmingham, Alabama, and got 14 head. They got Jack Stokes, big trailer, went out there and got 14 head.
Mm-hmm. And pull it with your little?
With my little old pickup out there. Everybody makes fun of that six-cylinder engine, and I'll take it now, pull your V8 just like that. Did my brother the same way up there in West Virginia. He didn't have nothing on his pickup. Rough tires on the back. He said he didn't know whether he could get out with change or not. He said, don't try it with your trailer. I said, I got to go. I hooked that trailer on, buy my pickup, load up my horse and my hay, and I thought I was going to have to push him up them hills. Now, there's steep hills up there, I want you to know.
I know how they are, yeah. Right,
they're
like
steep,
that.
That's right. And it was dirt road. There's one place, I'm telling you, you can see your taillights and you go around that thing. It's just that sharp. But I took that little old pickup, you can ask Helen, and I just kept right on going. And my brother was in front of me just spinning up a storm, and he had chains on and rough tires. And I had slick tires in my trailer. And I don't think I turned the wheel over twice. Just kept right on going.
In high gear?
I had it in drive, yeah. But now, a lot of that's in the driver.
Yeah.
You can't be gas happy.
Yeah.
Since Thanksgiving Day, and I pulled it, drove it out of the Ed station over there, Thanksgiving Day, I have put 16,000 miles on that truck.
You certainly know every part of that truck, don't you?
I know every little bit of it.
And the only trouble you had was that transmission?
Yeah.
Is that your fault?
Partly. But I wouldn't swap it, I tell you, I wouldn't swap it for another one, a different type of transmission. There ain't no way. If that thing burns up before I get home, I'll just go get another one like it and put in it.
Yeah.
That's right. That's the toughest transmission built. I bar none. Just like that old 53 Chevy out there. That transmission, that's in it. That's just like one of my pickups. You just can't tear them up.
I wish I had one in my car.
You know what put life in that 53 Chevy? A new battery.
Oh, it's dead.
That old battery would you chug it along?
Yeah.
And you'd have to juice it up about now and then. As soon as he put a new battery in that, it ran just like new.
That's the best automobile you've owned in many a day.
Yeah.
That little 53 Chevy out there.
I hear that purr.
That is. That's the best automobile you've owned. And to take care of it, it'll put these new ones in the boneyard. Ain't no question about it.
Carburetor gave way on it. But something's going to give way on all of them.
That's right. Well, a carburetor, when it gave way on that, and it didn't cost you $100 to replace it, did it?
No, it didn't cost hardly anything.
You what said, does the car sound like, Cookie, when the rear?
Oh, so you're bringing up that.
Okay. All right. I'll ask it myself sometime.
She slips in those little things, you know, just get free advice. Well, she had at the gas well running around listening to it.
What did you say it was? Wheel bearing or rear end?
I just want to know what a rear end bearing, if it's out of fix, if I could tell it.
Yeah.
Just hear it?
You can hear it. Be a roar. Roar, 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 roar. Like that. A wheel bearing will do the same thing. It's hard to detect the wheel bearing from side carrier bearings in the differential. It's hard to detect them. I've been fooled myself.
Yeah.
And I'll be fooled again.
It's hard to the rear bearing.
That's right.
Hard to tell.
It's hard to tell. It sure is.
Well, I don't hear anything. That's all I was asking.
Well, you can't hear because you're... Well, you can hear it in the car, can't you?
Yeah. Oh, you see, my brother, he got all that positive traction rear end and that special transmission that they put in them pickups and V8 engine, 350 cubic inch engine. Great big thing. Gets 7 or 8 miles a gallon gas. And
but you knew what you wanted when you got this thing. How did you know that, Cookie?
I have experienced it.
You knew this particular model.
I knew this particular type engine that I got in there was the toughest engine Chevrolet ever built.
Yeah.
Just like that. It's the same thing as you got in that 53 Chevrolet out there.
Yeah.
Same transmission. The only difference I got was a heavy-duty rear suspension.
Yeah.
To carry the load. That's all the difference that I got. And whenever it gets to where that little old engine transmission won't pull it, I ain't got no use for the load anyway. I'll just take off one.
Yeah.
That's right. I got too much on anyway. I'll just take off one.
Yeah.
But coming back on them... 301 and 601, that four lane, I was cruising right with the traffic, 65 and 70 miles an hour, with no sweat.
Was this on hitch to?
With this trailer hitched to me, and the horse in there, and coming back before with that tremendous load I brought back, I cruised 55 and 60, right down 75. And I brought 7,000 pounds of horses out of there that trip. And when I went to Alabama and got them 14 head, I couldn't get the speed, but I didn't play around. I averaged around 50, 55 mile an hour with 14 head of horses on that thing. Good size horses.
Well, Cookie, all I can say is if you make $3,000 in 2 months, why just... You'll see 2, 9, 6, 3, and 6, 18. You ought not to worry about anything. You can just keep it up.
I'm not worrying about it.
Well, look here, because if this thing goes through now, and that Social Security goes through, that's going to add up, ain't it?
Yeah, it's going to add up. They're going to have to pay me for 13, 14 months back Social Security. All in one lump sum. Just like that.
That'd be a lot.
Now you haven't just been holding out on that rib there you got.
No, I'm telling them God's truth.
I know you're telling the truth, but I mean, there's nothing they can do to it.
They haven't.
Well, that sounds preposterous.
They haven't. I've been to the VA hospital. I've been
to
the med center.
They haven't offered to.
No, I've been to the med center, and I've been back to my Dr. Mantine. I've been back to Dr. Almond, and they ain't none of them offered to give me any relief. All they told me to do was take in from number three and give me a prescription that I can get refilled.
And then expects you to do heavy-duty tractor work.
That's right. In from number three. It's got codeine in it. I can take, if I took them like they prescribed, I'd be drunk all the time.
Yeah.
That's the truth. I just can't take them like that.
Well, now, if this goes through, you can sit down and smoke your cigar.
Drop my feet up like the other niggers do. And draw Social Security and live off Uncle Sam. And I'll do it too. But I'll be out here under a shade tree.
You mean you'll actually sit down under the tree for a while?
No, I won't sit down. You know, I ain't gonna sit down. I'll be out here.
You might park your trailer under a shade tree.
There you go. I'll have Grandpa and Grandma out here. I'm out there in them fields where they can get some fresh air. That's where I'll have them. You watch me. Nah, Helen's dad will be down here.
Well, now, you just heard from Helen?
Yeah, tonight. This afternoon.
And she said she'd just bring them both.
What they gonna do? Me and Laura's gonna go up. Well, Laura and Helen and Grandma's gonna turn around and come back. I'm gonna stay up there next week and help Grandpa get his business straightened up. He's got nobody to drive him here and there to get his mail changed and his, official business taken care of.
Is Laura able to do that?
She says she is. She wants to go. I think that's one thing's wrong with her.
Oh, I see.
She's worrying herself to death over Grandma and Grandpa.
She needs to move around.
She needs to get up there and get with him, and I think it'll help her.
So you're going in Laura's car?
Yeah. I'm going to take Laura's car. And
then drive Grandpa's car back.
I'm going to drive Grandpa's car back.
But it's his car, so they can't say nothing.
That's right. It's his car.
Cookie, who gave you the worst, most trouble since that wreck? Insurance people?
Insurance people, that's all. Insurance people, they just tore me up.
They just tore into you.
Hey, that's right.
They didn't say please.
No, nor thank you neither.
Or excuse me.
No, nor thank you.
They didn't even...
Frank did it all. And he won't help me one damn bit.
Well, he gonna marry and go to Texas.
I hope he does. I hope he does.
Are you serious?
I don't know, but I hope he does. I'm serious. I am.
You can build another room up there.
Who? Damn, I do. He gets married, he gets on out on his own. I didn't squat on nobody.
So that's the signal. Once he gets married,
he's gone.
You know, when he was working for Eddie down here, I couldn't see why he couldn't just squat over here. And he can batch and eat over there with them.
I tried my best to get him to do that, but he wouldn't listen to me.
He got to be up there with them buddies of his.
That's right. Long-haired hippies.
Yeah. Ain't that something? And the world is full of them. If you don't find them in one place, you'll find them in another.
That's right. Well, I tell you, when their hair gets longer than mine, they're a hippie.
Yeah.
And I tell them all that, too. I don't care.
Oh, Lynn.
Well, Cookie, I just hope they find out what you want them to find out and let you off this hook.
I hope I get off this hook, Lord have mercy.
Well, look at that.
You've really been on it, Cookie, and nobody could unhook you.
No. The only person that could unhook me, that could get me off the hook, is to quit before he hooked me, and that was Frank.
Yes. Yes.
Is to quit before he hooked me.
Well, you saw it. You said way back yonder what was going to happen.
That's right. Then I predicted it, and my predictions were fulfilled to a T, weren't they?
Oh, yes.
You say he's going to break you.
Well, he just come very near doing it. But I'm telling you, Laura, that she just can't be beat. There's no question about it, that girl cannot be beat.
Yeah.
She just can't be beat.
Well, you know, Frank will straighten out one of these days.
If he lives that long. That's right.
He hadn't been straight in a good long while, Cookie. No. This has been going on a long time.
That's right.
Do you remember when we was out here and Franklin was plowing this field and putting in little stuff out there?
Yeah.
You know what he'd done? I went down there with you.
Put the knife down. You're going to hit me in the eye with it.
I come back up here and Franklin's sitting in the shed out there.
Yeah.
He says, "Where's Daddy?" Well, I lied. I says, he's getting some stuff. He's coming right on up here. All right, when I said that, he went on back out there. But after he got through plowing,
he never put the seed in it.
They just sat out there in the sack the longest time. I kept going out there to see if them seeds would come up. And it's the most peculiar thing, you know. We had a rain. Well, nothing coming up out there. Now, but it had been going on a long time before that.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah.
Right in the middle of it.
Well,
You worked with him, Cookie. You did.
I did my part.
Oh,
see,
yeah.
He got through that.
I don't see how you did as much as you did.
He got through that at school. Day school.
He told me he quit.
He got thrown out. He got thrown out because the principal called me and told me, he said, "I've got no other alternative. He won't stay in school."
Yeah.
If he wasn't at Ed's, he was at Santa Fe High School up outside of Lotsaway. He wasn't at Hawthorne High School.
Well, you kept him in school a good while.
Well, he's going to night school now. He's found out that he can't get a job unless he got a diploma.
Oh.
There's no way he can't get a job unless he got a diploma. A decent job.
Well, I don't know why it takes such a bright fella to know that, because everybody tells you that.
That's right. And he's going to work for Barclay Toyota Monday morning. And if he gets his diploma in June, if he gets it, they'll send him on to school. If not, well, he ain't got no job.
It's just that rigid.
It's just that plain. If he gets his diploma in June, he'll go on to school and learn to be a mechanic on a Toyota. But if he don't, well, he's right back where he started from.
Well,
nothing.
It looks to me like in a case like that, when he sees that out there, he gonna clean things up a little bit.
Like he asked me if he could use my tools. Now I said, "Are you gonna do my tools like you did Ed's tools?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what kind of a job you do. That job ain't complete till your tools is cleaned up and back in that toolbox." I said, "If you do a job leave the tools all over everything, that job's just half done.
There's a right smart housekeeping, ain't there?
That's right. But I say whenever them tools are cleaned up and put back in that box after each job, that job's complete. He looked at me and smiled, and I said, now you can smile if you want to, but that's the truth. I said, if you don't believe it, so you go ask Johnny Brasington. How many men that could sit on their workbench after they got done a motor job? And Johnny Brasington will tell him.
Yeah.
When I left there, Johnny Brasington told me, he said, Cookie, you're the first man that I could ever sit on his workbench after a motor job. When I got that motor job done, my workbench was clean, my tools were back in my toolbox. And that's right. And you could crawl up on that workbench and sit down in your white clothes.
I tell you, them tools come so high,
you got to
you just
them.
Wonder anybody let them lie around.
That's a fortune in that toolbox, Cookie. I never realized it.
That's right.
I never realized how much it cost until you told me.
It's worth taking care of.
Oh.
That's right, and it's going to be taken care of. Because I don't think I'll let him use them. I don't think he'll take care of them. He hasn't yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, he got money and no expense.
He can start buying some tools. If he's going to work for $2.75 an hour. Heck, in 2 weeks' time, he can buy him some tools. He can get his and like I got mine.
Yeah.
Buy them by the month.
He can buy cheap ones and then get bigger.
That's right. I got some expensive tools out there in my box. Sure have.
How you get along without that box?
I can't get along without it because I take that box wherever I go. You might know.
I don't see that you got any choice in that.
Because if I break down, I sure can't afford to pay a mechanic $12 an hour to work on my vehicle, as slow as they are. I got to fix it myself. Just like when I put that transmission in, they wanted $65 to put that transmission in. In 3 hours, I had that thing back rolling again. I paid for it for the next 2 weeks, but I had it rolling. I can do it. I don't care.
When will you know about this medical thing?
I'm supposed to go back Monday week. Monday week.
To find out.
Whether I go back to work or whether I come home and sit down and prop my feet up.
But you think you got a good chance to prop your feet?
I got a good chance of propping my feet.
Cookie, I swear to you, you look as healthy as I ever saw you. I don't know how you
look.
You
look mean, too.
Wicked. And healthy. Your color's good.
I've tried it twice.
I know you have.
And couldn't hold up at
it. I know you can't.
I can run from here to my truck and find awful careful I'll pass out.
I'm sure you can. You sure look good.
Why can't they give you a timekeeper's job or something?
I ain't got the education. No, that's just laying it plain. I ain't got the education.
Well, you go back to your old garbage truck, dump truck, junk truck.
I can't pick up them garbage bags and throw them on that truck and hold up at it.
You mean they haven't got nothing over there for you to do?
I don't know what they got that I can do other than stand around with a cleanup crew. And I don't know whether I've got enough education for that or not. That requires a high school graduate with 4 years experience.
Stand around with a cleanup crew
picking up paper. And I ain't got it. I can't qualify.
I hate to be figuring against you.
says facts. I applied for it.
You did?
I applied for one job over there. He said, you didn't qualify.
All you can do is that heavy equipment.
They think that's all I can do. Well, I got news for them. I'm not going to do it.
Well, I can tell them that. It looked like any nitwit would know you couldn't do that.
I'm not going to be beat around and tore up like that heavy equipment. I'm just not going to do it. I don't care what you say.
Well, if they don't have something, they could pass you on to somebody else. The employment office.
I'm not going to let them. As many jobs as they are at the University of Florida, as many employees as they've got, and they can't find something for me to do, I'm not going to let them pass a buck on. No, sir.
And you don't have to do it.
I don't have to do it, no.
Well, now, is any of those fellows over there kind of giving you some cues to follow?
No, none whatsoever.
It's you against the field.
It's me against the university.
All of them.
Right. And so far, I'm holding up.
You know what old John Ross used to do? He used to go around that little old motorcycle with a sidecar to it with them long bubs like that and go from one building to another and putting them in. Yeah. Electrician.
I could probably do that, but I ain't got the experience. I'm not an electrician, I think.
Gonna be so technical about things.
By God, I'm gonna be technical.
Yeah.
And I told Mr. Lake so today.
Yeah. What'd he say?
He said, whatever you and him work out, he said, we'll follow suit.
Yeah. Because he can't get tied up in it?
He don't want to. What they're afraid of is this. And I see it all the way through. Why they sent me back for all them examinations and everything. They're afraid that I'm going to sue the university for all my back pay and prove that I got the disease right there. Well, there ain't no way I can prove I did, and there sure ain't no way they can't prove that I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
See what I mean? They can't prove I can't prove that it did. They don't know that, I don't think. And neither can they prove that I didn't get it there. There ain't no way. Well, they goofed up, see. When they took my x-rays, they admitted that they didn't find no trace of a lung disease at that time. Well, they didn't read them x-rays. Because Dr. Golding said that it's possible that I can have had it for 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
And they miscued on reading the
x-rays. That's right, when I hired in there.
They didn't know how to read them.
That's right. So they're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't got them x-rays now. They done throw them away. So they ain't got no proof.
They don't want them on the place.
That's right.
They got no reason to keep them anyhow.
They ain't got no proof that I didn't get it there, and neither have I got any proof that I didn't get it there.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can say is I did get sick while I worked at the university.
And they hired you.
They
you
hired
assumed that they felt that you were all right.
That's right. But I worked there 11 months.
And got it.
And all but fell over. I was weak. I could hardly get off that tractor. And Jim Whitten will verify that. I got a good case. I could beat it. Just like that. And they're afraid of that. They're afraid of that, and I know it. And to prove it to you, last payday, I got a check for around $100 from the University of Florida. and I ain't worked there in 2 months. I don't know, but I got a check for around $100, and I don't know what it's for. I just wonder if I'm going to get one this weekend, and they sent it to me in the mail.
Oh, they did?
That's right, and it was dated for... March
16th. Yeah,
you didn't have your foot up there?
No, I hadn't been on the campus. So I hadn't been on campus.
Because there's no way that you can just get everything clear and not have any of this finagling to do. If you ain't doing it up there at the university, you'd be doing it at something else, wouldn't you?
I've been having my hands in some kind of a pie.
Have you been doing that ever since you come to Florida?
I ain't been sitting still.
Well, I mean, since I've seen you, you see, you've had your hands full just doing all those things.
Yeah.
Good part of it, you didn't have much choice in. You were just trying to stay on your feet.
Trying to keep going, yeah.
And if it ain't you, it's somebody else. Looks like you elected, don't it?
Looks like I'm elected, that's right. Now you can see, I've got to take care of Helen's mom and dad.
Yeah.
And I know I'll have to take care of my mom and dad. But mama ain't going to go no place else to live. She done made up her mind, and she done told Daddy. Mama ain't going no place else to live. When she gets to where she can't take care of herself, she's coming to Leo's. That's just word with the bark on it, because Mama said so.
Well, Cookie, you haven't got any choice but to keep wiggling.
Oh, I'm going to keep wiggling.
Well, I'll tell you the truth.
I'm going to have to wiggle down here now. We're going to do something down here. We can't sit down.
Cookie, I'll tell you the truth. It's shameful to have to wiggle down here when you could wiggle up the country there where there's all that good hay.
Let me tell you something. That good hay is going to come.
Yes, I enjoy singing about the smell right this minute.
Because, Grandma, tell you what we can do. We can take $100 for hay and $100 for expenses up there and back. And go up there and buy enough hay to keep me and you both. That's $200.
Yeah.
Well, we darn sure can't put up enough of anything down here that will take the place of 200 bales of hay that we get from up there.
You know, I've just about decided... if I can find any hay that's any good at all, just to buy some and put it up, it cost me more to put it up.
I get that. Turn them cows out and let them eat it. Turn them horses out and let them eat what they can of it, what they will of it. I go out there and cut it down and make a tender for them.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you're pushing me, forcing me to enlarge my herd so I won't have to mow so much, you see.
That's right.
See, I gave him the use of all that land over there, and he hadn't had anything on it. The old fertilizer's down here. It looks like a sand box.
I'll tell you what. I've had so much to think about. Man, you just don't know what all I've had on my mind, buddy.
Lord.
That's true. Taking care of business here and then business 1,000 miles away.
Oh. That $3,000 would have haunted me. I couldn't have slept all month.
But I made it.
And you have to spend it right out.
I'm paying for it.
And it cost you everything you made, didn't it?
That's right.
You made it just to pay.
And I made it just to keep from going to jail.
You mean and they would have put you in jail?
That's right. Of course, Frank was just underage. That's all there was to it.
And it just had to be paid.
It had to be paid. There's no way out. You had underage and no insurance.
Well, you tell me how he keeps his driver's license.
He ain't gonna keep him very long. He ain't gonna keep him very long. Because I'll be darned if I'm gonna give up mine. Not for him. No, there ain't no way. I'm gonna tell him to go get that boy's driver's license. Don't mess with mine, because I didn't do it. I've got insurance on my truck, Laura's car. Me and her drive it. And not for him to drive it. And he ain't gonna drive it, neither one of them. Laura wouldn't let him turn her car around.
You mean she's
soured.
She's made her mind up.
She is soured.
She's seen all she wants to see.
That's right. She gets out of her car, she takes her key out. And me and her are the only one drive that car. That's right. Frank don't even back it out of his way. No.
Well, now, where's Helen coming in on this? She's been your chief wage earner over there with a raise and all that she's got down there.
Yeah.
Well, she can't do all that now.
Yes, she can.
Take care of the parents, too. They don't need much help, just a little.
Just a little.
Well, Harry Ann's big enough.
Getting her to do it. She just like Frank.
Harry?
Yeah, he's lazy.
Harry?
God, yeah.
Well, I thought she was got like Laura.
No, Sarah's one's like Laura. Sarah and Alice. Harriet Ann and Becky and Frank.
Three
will do what you tell them to, and the other three's so lazy they won't. Harriet Ann kept wanting a horse. I went and got her a registered quarter mare. Filly. 3-year-old. Good animal. I'm going to sell her. She's too lazy to take care of her. What's that? She'll go out there and ride the fool out of her. She'll ride her, yeah. Feed her? No. I come home the other night and the water trough was dry as a bone. It wouldn't have been so bad for their horses, but my horse happened to be in there, riding.
Yeah.
And I pitched a fit. Ben sure did.
I tell you, you can't get along without a float.
If they'd pay attention to what they're doing.
They won't. I won't. I'll tell you the truth.
By gosh, I would.
I doubt it.
Yes, I would. I think too much of that horse down yonder.
What I do, I turn the washer on.
You forget to turn it off, don't
yes.
you? That's the way of thinking.
I can remember to turn it on. But then I go off, and a couple hours later, I wonder what in the hell the pump's running for.
And you turn it off, and then your pump's waterlogged, didn't it?
Yes.
You got to go drain your pump.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Harry Dan went out after I got on her yesterday evening, and she ran about 200-300 gallon water out, running all the way down through the past field.
Yeah.
Come in from school this evening, my I give her the pipe wrench. I said, go drain the pump.
And she did?
Yeah, she found out how.
Yeah.
I told her, drain the pump.
Wow, like sir.
Bill and John. All of them, they went up to Grandpa's. And he got everything handy. All you got to do is turn the switch off and open two valves. Close one and open the other valve. You can drain the pump. Just like that.
Yeah.
He got everything handy, you know.
Yeah.
And they couldn't even do that. Drain Grandpa's pump. All they had to do was get up and go down in the basement. He got the pump in the basement. And do that. But they
Oh, he has?
Yes, my fellow. Got his pump in the basement.
Well, how does that work?
Well, his well's out right beside the house.
Yes.
He just got a pipe run through the wall.
It's all the same, ain't it?
Yeah.
Well, it don't have to set right over the well, does it?
No, you can have one sitting way out yonder.
Well, why hadn't I thought of that?
I don't know.
Well, what in the world? Why, Lord help us. I tell you, ain't that something? You don't have to have all that stuff sitting out there in the sun, do you?
No.
Well, I'll be damned. Have you seen Marvin's little irrigation system?
No.
A horse and a half?
No. I've not saw it.
It is something. Of course, he hadn't had to use it this winter. It's been raining. That thing is magic. And it'll also pump water, you see. It'll pull water long ways. I don't know whether it'd pull it up out of a well or not, but it'd pull it that high.
Yeah. Imagine it would.
30 feet, 40. Something has to do with gravity and all, you know. It'll just go so high with a hose, you can shoot it just so high.
I don't know. The only time I see Marvin is he's either going someplace or coming back. He's on the road. You never see him out up there. No. All the time I'm going by there, I never see him out.
Yeah.
Every time I see him on the road, why, they're all dressed up better than I do, see, and they can't speak to me.
You know that fella over there at Brownlee, Toby?
Yeah.
They don't get along too well.
No. I knew that.
Well, that wasn't anything just a very small matter.
Because, see, when Toby was furnishing a truck and to haul their cattle in, their feed in, and kept it up, insurance on it, and a mower machine and so on and so forth, and to cut their hay with, everything was all right. But when Toby went and got his truck and his mowing machine and all that kind of good junk, well, it's all wrong.
Well, how'd they get connected with Toby to start with?
Toby brought some cows out there.
Oh.
And put them in that track of land over in front of the house there, across the road.
Yeah.
And they took care of them for half of the calf crop.
Well, let me tell you, Cookie, you don't want to do business with just everybody, do you?
I'm not going to do business with Marvin Guthrie.
Or Mary Townsend either.
No.
You might make a little ice cream some Sunday or 4th of July.
Nah, I ain't going to eat it. I ain't going to be around it.
But she makes good cakes. I was up at that Townsend homecoming, you see, at that Townsend church. You remember that time?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I remember that. She had a cake up at his high.
Well, let me tell you this, and I'm going home. On Memorial Day weekend, and a week after Memorial Day, my brother and the quartet will be at the Williston football stadium on Sunday, Memorial Day.
Oh, that's Bluegrass
Singers. Bluegrass Singers from Canton, Ohio. They will be there.
Is that the only place they're going to be?
I don't know. They might be all around here and there.
I'll see them over at your house.
They may be over here.
All
right. By golly. We may get out there in the pasture field and let them sing.
Well, I'll tell you, the thing I remember the most is Laura. I'm telling you, I never saw anybody soak it up like she did.
Bae?
See, her mama was over there playing the piano.
Yeah?
And they was up there singing, and Laura was right there taking it in.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. Part of it.
Oh, I was right there where I could see it. And I thought to myself, she just knows all that stuff by heart. She knows what they're going to say before they say it.
I talked to my brother while I was home. And he said, we'll be there. He said, I'm taking my vacation. Hank's taking his, and Melvin's taking his, and we're going to make Tommy take his.
Yeah. Now, what's the occasion?
They're just coming down for a big zing. Over Jack Stokes is getting it up.
Jack Stokes is getting it up?
Right. Jack Stokes, well, Junior Women's Club in Williston and two or three other different organizations is going to sponsor them.
And it's going to be in the stadium.
All right.
Have plenty of room.
Plenty of room, plenty of seats.
Yeah. And they don't mind the outdoors.
They love it.
They'd rather be there than inside that Alvin's little church.
Right.
Well, they done pretty well up there, don't you think?
Yeah. That preacher, that somebody still ain't spoke to me since.
You really let him have it, didn't you?
I told him just what he could do.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell him more if he ever faces me.
Well, let me tell you, Cookie, that's a mistake.
He won't face me.
Oh, that was a mistake.
No, I was on my mind and I got it off.
Well, you got the wrong man, you see. Now, his name is Cherry?
No, Carol.
Carol, yes.
Yeah.
Carol. Well, anyhow, I'm thinking of the same man. Well, sir, now, you know, I've heard him preach two or three times. And when I first heard him, I thought to myself, here's a man that's about as mindless as you'll get, just as simple as you get. Next time I heard him, I thought, Lord heavens, this man can really preach. He just got the gift. But he ain't clever, you see, Cookie.
He lost the gift, didn't he? After he got in there, he lost that gift.
He got that gift, but he ain't clever, you see. And you can't hold him responsible for things he can't do.
Why'd you get up and predict that he can do it for then?
He don't. You gotta know. Suppose I hold you responsible for some of your predictions. You gotta know when a man can produce. Or you, me. You see, hold me responsible for some of my predictions. No, he don't know.
He sure didn't know that, did he, Cookie?
No, he didn't know. He don't know. He don't know those things. He's a bricklayer.
No, he ain't.
Plumber?
He's a plumber.
He's a plumber.
He thinks.
Well, that's just a little behind the other, isn't it?
Way but, behind.
Well, he might be a good plumber, but he might not, you see. But he's a good preacher. But that don't mean he's P.T. Barnum. He don't know about getting people out.
He don't try to learn. He don't let nobody tell him nothing. He's hard-headed, like me.
Is he hard-headed?
Yeah.
He is hard-headed?
Yeah. Ain't one way. That's his way.
Is that right?
You can't tell him nothing.
Well, I didn't realize that.
That's right.
Well, I thought he'd just be open to a suggestion.
No, you can't suggest nothing to him.
Well, he's a good preacher.
He can't raise money, can he, Cookie?
No, he can't raise money.
You're the money raiser.
I'll get it.
Well,
I'm liable to make $20 before I get home tonight.
You're liable to?
I'm liable to.
I hope you do, cousin. 25. I sure do.
Well, I tell you what, we ought to bring that hay in, a bale or two of it, where we can smell it without going out there.
I tell you, that's good enough to make a bed out of and sleep on.
Yeah.
I tell you, it smells like bread to me. Toasted bread. It smells that good.
Oh.
There ain't no question about it. That just smells good enough to lay down on and sleep.
Yeah.
That's what you call sleeping in a haystack, yes.
That's right. Well, let's go.
See you all
next
time. Golly. Take
that. That's right.
You going to be up there in West Virginia? Down one right around 1700, about the end, and the end of this visit with Cookie. This after supper, the second visit today. After supper, Wednesday, the 28th of March, 73. Channel 1 right around 1700, towards the end of this Channel 1 right and the end of the visit with Cookie. This second visit today, after supper, this Wednesday, the 28th of March, 73.